Take your Bibles this morning, turn over to the book of John. John chapter 21 is where we're going to find our text here this morning. And we have been in this series, if you're a guest here today, for a number of weeks, and we're considering the miracles of Jesus in his ministry. And we are bringing this series to a close in the next week or so. But today we find ourselves in John chapter 21, considering this next miracle of the Lord, and we've been taking them in chronological order the best that we can and working our way through. And our whole text is actually the whole chapter of John chapter 21, and I want to go ahead and read this morning so you follow along with me as we read this entire chapter. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye no meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was the net not broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Here in John chapter 21, we have this, really it's a a testament to the grace of God, the mercy of God in the life of Peter. This occasion here, when the Lord comes to his disciples, and in specifically, he comes to Peter, and he gets Peter back on course in his life. When we're considering this, I want you to focus on the relationship that Peter had with the Lord, but I also want you to focus on your relationship with the Lord. The singular most important thing in the Christian life is your personal relationship with Christ. The single most important thing in the life of any human is a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, you could be involved in all kinds of things. You know, your relationship to your church is important, but it's not as important as your relationship to Christ. Your relationship to a Sunday school, you know, program or to a Sunday school class is important, but it's not as important as your relationship to Jesus Christ. That is the singular most important thing for any individual, is a relationship with Christ. But what is the condition of your relationship to Christ today? Oh, I'm saved. I know the Lord. That's a good thing. I'm primarily going to speak to saved people this morning from the Word of God. But let me ask you the question, what is the condition of your relationship to Christ? You know, no matter what kind of Christian activities you engage in, no matter what kind of quote-unquote religious things that you do, no matter what kind of spiritual activity that you're involved in, no matter what those things, the question needs to be asked, what is your personal relationship to Christ? Because that really is your Christian life. And as we approach John chapter 21 here, and even consider this miracle of the 153 fish, we find Peter as one whose relationship with Jesus Christ was not what it should have been at that moment. And that relationship needed to be restored. And here again, I see a picture of the mercy, the grace of God, because even in performing this miracle, we get a glimpse of the character of Jesus and what he desires in a relationship with his people. We need to be right with the Lord. And that's what I really want to talk about this morning, a right relationship to Christ. And what we find here, first of all, in the first 17 verses, we're not going to read them again, but I will make reference to them. In these first 17 verses here, we find that Jesus Christ restores Peter's relationship to himself. What we need to understand here is that this miracle that the Lord performs is post-resurrection, okay? So Jesus has already been crucified, he's already been put in the grave, and he's risen from the grave. And Jesus shows himself to his disciples at various times in that period of time between when he rose from the grave and the time that he ascended back to heaven. John says here that this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. So this miracle that is performed here is post-resurrection. Why is that important? Well, when we consider Peter and Peter's relationship to the Lord, this actually comes to life here for us. Because Peter experienced some things that caused him and his relationship with the Lord to not be what it ought to be. And before we can see how the Lord actually restored Peter, we need to first understand what happened to him and how he came to be here in this place, out fishing. Now remember, we read in verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, his companions, he said, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. I want you to understand, first of all, how did Peter get to this point right here, where he said, I go a fishing? Was this what Peter was supposed to be doing? Was this the place that he was supposed to be at? Well, go with me back to Luke chapter 22, and we're going to look at, first of all, Peter's failure Peter's failure. Again, we need to understand what happened to Peter and how he came to this point first before we can understand how the Lord restored him. And we're going to look in John 21 a little bit later here, and we're going to see the components that make up a right relationship with the Lord. But in Luke chapter 22, look at verse 33. And he said unto him, Lord, this is Peter speaking, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. All right, so here's Peter, all confident, and he says, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison. I'm ready to go with you to death. Lord, you know, nothing matters, and no one else matters. Lord, I'll stand right by you, even unto death. And Jesus says, Peter, you're going to deny me three times this day before the cock even crows. And Peter's like, no, Lord, I'll not deny you. And we're looking here at Peter's failure. Here was Peter. Listen, here was Peter, the man who spent 3 years with the Lord Jesus. Peter, what we would call, probably had somewhat of an intense relationship with the Lord. You know, he's kind of up and down, and he's loyal to the core, but I think he's probably overconfident at times. I mean, here, understand this. Remember, when Jesus told his disciples that I'm going to go to the cross, I'm going to be crucified, what did Peter say to the Lord? In fact, he didn't just say it. He rebuked Jesus, and he said, not so, Lord. That's not going to happen to you. Remember that? Here is Peter denying and telling Jesus, the God of all creation, that he doesn't know what he's talking about. Right? Essentially, here's a man who spent all of this time with the Lord. He's been called to be an apostle by the Lord. He probably, what we would call, was the leader of those apostles, their spokesman. He was chosen by the Lord himself to be personally part of that inner circle, the Peter, James, and John inner circle. And in the beginning, Peter made all of these boasts that he would never forsake the Lord. He rebuked him, saying, Lord, you're not going to go to the cross. He said, I'll stand with you, even unto death, Lord. And yet, when the time came, and Jesus was arrested in the garden, and they carried him off, and he went through his trial and his crucifixion and all of those things, Peter, just like everyone else, fled. Didn't he? I think Peter was overconfident about his spirituality. Here's Peter's failure. That's the place of his failure. But I also want you to note the pain of his failure. The Bible tells us that when Peter denied the Lord that night and Jesus turned and looked at Peter, Peter knew right in that moment that he had betrayed something very precious, that he had denied his Savior. And the Bible says that he went out and he wept bitterly. The pain of his failure. He knew that he had violated the Lord, something very precious and something very sacred. And Peter was miserable because of it. But so is every child of God who decides to walk away from the will of the Lord. As a child of God, not being obedient to the Lord and walking away from the will of God, we'll soon find out that that sin brings with it pain, it brings with it suffering, it brings with it misery. The Bible says in Proverbs 13, verse 15, that the way of transgressors is hard. You know, how often is it that people who even are children of God, they get their priorities all messed up and they're pursuing after vain things and they're pursuing after life for themselves, trying to bring happiness to themselves, and they can never catch up and they can never find what they're looking for. Well, if they're truly a child of God, the reason why they can't is because they're not obedient to their master. We'll never succeed in this Christian life or in life in general if we're not obedient to the Lord. What happens when we walk away from the will of God? Hey, gone is the peace of God. Gone is the sense of God's presence in our life. Gone is His power. Gone is the joy of the Lord, the joy that fills the soul, that joy that is worth more than gold to a child of God. It's gone. Peter, after he denied the Lord, wept bitterly because he knew he had violated something very precious. But then, not only do we see Peter's failure, but then after that, we see Peter's foolishness. Back in John 21, note this in verse 3 again. John 21 and verse 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. Here's Peter's foolishness. And someone might say, well, why is this foolish, Pastor? Well, it's foolish because his choice that he made here was not the right choice. He made the wrong choice here. After the resurrection, you know, after the crucifixion, after Peter's failure, Peter probably felt and thought that, you know what, his ministry was over. He probably thought, he was probably very discouraged. He said he knew he had denied the Lord. He knew that he had failed. And maybe here Peter's thinking, you know what? I'm kind of a failure as an apostle. I always stick my foot in my mouth. I denied the Lord when I said I wouldn't do it. I did all of these things. I'm not really any good at this thing, but I can fish. I'm going to go back to what I used to do. I go fishing. But is that what he was supposed to do? Had not Jesus already told them what they were to do? Had not the Lord already called them? But let me say this to you. People who are out of God's will, they always make the wrong choices. People who are out of God's will always make the wrong choice. And Peter might have justified his choice with, you know what? Hey, I've got a family to feed, don't I? So I better go do this. Well, I've seen it before, that same kind of mentality. Well, I can't, you know what, I've got a family to feed and I've got to work an extra job because we've got to pay all these bills and so on, and I better go take care of this. And I know that this new job's going to take me out of church and out of my services, you know, service to the Lord and all of these things, but I've got a family to feed. And they make a choice to deny the Lord, and they make a choice to not obey the Lord, thinking that somehow they know better. And what ends up happening? They don't succeed. They fail. Even worse, life goes on and their spiritual life continues to spiral downhill, and it doesn't just affect them. They end up losing their children to the world. When we're out of the will of God, the only choice, the only right choice, is to get right with God. Any other choice is the wrong choice. The consequence for Peter here, as we see in this text, was he might have been discouraged. I don't know exactly why he made this choice, but he said, I go fishing. You can imagine he's discouraged. He's like, I'm tired of waiting. I don't know. I'm going to go back to what I used to do. I go fishing. What was the consequence, though? Well, let's read on. Verse 3, they went and got into that ship immediately, right? At the end of verse 3, and that night they caught nothing. What was the consequence? Well, they went out and they fished all night long. Remember, these are professional fishermen. This is what they did. This was their livelihood. They knew that. They knew the Sea of Galilee like the back of their hand. They knew exactly where those fishing holes were. They knew what time to be fishing. They knew all of those things. And here they caught nothing. Well, that's the way it works for those who are not in the will of God. No matter what they try to accomplish in their own strength, it always comes to naught. You remember the prodigal son? He wanted his inheritance, and he went and did his thing, and he lived riotously and wasted his inheritance, and all of the plans and ambitions and all the life that he imagined for himself, where did it end him up? In the hog pen, and he couldn't even fill his own belly. That is how Peter got to this place. And we can see that his relationship to Christ is not what it should have been. And here is where we begin to see the heart of the Lord. Here's where we begin to see the compassion of Christ, how he desires that right relationship. And here in the next part of this passage, the Lord gives Peter the opportunity to restore that relationship. Look at verses 4 and following. Here's the heart of Christ. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They said unto him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Let's skip down to verse 9. And as soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Here's the Lord providing for them. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Here is the Lord providing for them. Here is the Lord giving an opportunity now for Peter to restore this relationship. And I want us to look for the rest of our time here this morning in verses 15 to 25, and we're going to see the components of a right relationship to Christ. Verse 15 says, So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. The first component of a right relationship to Jesus Christ is having a love for Christ. In order to have a right relationship with Christ, there needs to be a love for Christ. Jesus asked this question of Peter, Lovest thou me more than these? I think that he's referring to the multitude of fishes that they had just caught, 153 of them. And maybe Jesus takes Peter aside after they died, and he says, Peter, do you love me more than these? All of these fish that you just caught here? Well, why would Jesus ask that question? Well, they were given orders by the Lord already. He had called them to be fishers of men. But Peter said, I go a-fishing, meaning back to what I know, back to what I think I'm good at. And here Jesus comes and he finds Peter in a state of disobedience, really, because he had been called to leave those things and to follow Christ, and he had been called to be fishers of men. Why did Peter come to this conclusion of I go a-fishing? And why did Jesus challenge him then in his love for him? Well, the answer might be found in the fact that Peter might have had a sense of failure about him. You know, like I said before, he had denied the Lord, and he was impetuous. He was always putting his foot in his mouth. Maybe he thought, you know what, I really stink at this apostle thing. I can't make a living at being an apostle anyway. The only good thing I can do and the only thing that I'm good at is fishing. I go fishing. Of course, Jesus rerouted all of those fish that day on purpose just to make a point. To tell Peter, you think you can do that, but you can't because you can't do anything without me. What happened when Jesus said, hey, guys, why don't you cast your net on the other side of the boat? When they obeyed the Lord and they cast their net on the other side of the boat, what happened? Man, they just had a whole host of fish. And here they are. You know, I could imagine, they're like, what are you talking about? We're professional fishermen. And is there a line under the boat that the fish have to stay on one side? You know? Jesus simply says, hey guys, just cast it on the other side of the boat. They probably would have, you know, could have been scratching their head and like, what in the world? But they obeyed. They obeyed the Lord. And what happened when they obeyed? They have a multitude of fishes. So Jesus challenges Peter here. When they're back on land, and he says, Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me, Peter, more than your profession of fishing? Do you love me more than these fish? Do you love me more than these nets? Do you love me more than this boat? Do you love me more than the thing that you think that you're good at? All of this stuff that you have such an affinity for, do you love me more than those? 3 times he asked Peter concerning his love. Now, I'll just take a minute to talk about this. We don't have the time to go deep into it this morning. But when Jesus says to Peter, lovest thou me more than these, he uses 2 different words. The first 2 times, Jesus uses agape, which is the loftiest kind of love, the highest kind of love. And then Peter says, Lord, you know that I love thee. Peter's answer in return to Christ is a different kind of love. It's a different word that he uses. So Jesus says, Peter, do you love me supremely? The loftiest kind of love. Do you love me supremely? Peter says, Lord, you know that I love thee. But the word that he used is the word phileo in the Greek, and it means to have an affection for. It's not as high of a love as agape love. See, in English, we only have the one word love, and it describes a whole lot of things. But in Greek, there's 3 different kinds of love. There's 3 different words that are used to describe love. And Jesus says, Peter, do you love me supremely, agape love? And Peter says, Lord, you know that I love thee, phileo. I have a strong affection for you. You know, that's what he's saying here. And so the first 2 times, Jesus asked this question, do you love me supremely? Peter's reply is, Lord, you know that I have a strong affection for you, a fondness for you. Why would Peter say that? Well, it might be that Peter may not have wanted to claim that supreme kind of love because he realized how inadequate he was. He realized how he has behaved in the past, how he denied the Lord. And so he didn't want to claim that supreme love because he knew he couldn't. And so he said, Lord, you know I have a strong affection for you. Go to verse 17. Now note this. He saith unto him the 3rd time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Here he says it, he asked this question again, but you know what word that Jesus uses here the 3rd time? He uses the word phileo, the same word that Peter used. And Jesus said, so the first 2 times, he says, Simon, do you love me supremely? And Simon says, Lord, you know I have a strong affection for you. But then Jesus uses the same word that Peter used, and he said, Peter, Do you really have a strong affection for me? I think this is significant because it seems as though Jesus is really challenging Peter and questioning whether Peter could even claim a strong affection for the Lord. Peter was grieved in his heart that Jesus challenged him, essentially saying, Peter, I don't know if you can even have the right to claim that kind of love, that kind of affection based on the way that you've acted. But note what Peter's response was. So Peter's grieved in his heart. And he's like, I can't say that I supremely love the Lord. I've behaved awfully. And Jesus says, are you sure you even have a fondness for me, Peter? And he says there in verse 17, and he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Peter said here, Lord, you know everything. Lord, don't look at the way that I have acted. Don't look at the things that I've done. You know everything. Look past that. Look at what's in my heart because you know that I love you in my heart. Then Jesus said, okay, Peter, feed my sheep. Tend to my sheep. This gives to us here the first and foremost component of a right relationship to Christ. And it's the component of loving Christ. And loving Christ more than anything else. Let me ask you this question here. What's the condition of your relationship to Jesus Christ? And when you ask that question, you need to ask it to yourself. But when you ask that to yourself, you need to ask yourself, do I love Jesus Christ more than anything else in this life? That's the substance of the right. That is the foundation to a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Do I love the Lord more than anything else? And that's the question the Lord is asking Peter here. That is the bottom line characteristic of a right relationship. Do I love Christ more than father? Do I love Christ more than mother? Do I love Christ more than my job? Do I love Christ more than a fortune? More than things? More than education? More than anything else? Listen, the proof is what we give the most of ourselves to. That's the proof of what we love the most. Right? People always make time for the things that they want the most. I'm so busy with this and I'm so busy with that, but we always find time for the things that we want the most. The proof of our love for Christ is whether or not he's first place. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7, I think it's interesting that Peter says this. To those who believe, Christ is precious. Amen. It's the kind of affection, this kind of love is something that needs to be demonstrated. It's not something we can just say. It needs to be demonstrated, and it shows itself in our obedience to Christ. Look in our text there. So the first component to a right relationship with Christ is love for Christ. The second is sacrifice for Christ. In verse 18, Jesus says this to Peter. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Here is the second component to a right relationship with the Lord, and that's sacrifice for Christ. Essentially, and what is essential to a right relationship with the Lord is a willingness to give up control of our life to him. That is essential in a right relationship with the Lord. And here Jesus states to Peter, he says, you know what, Peter, when you were young, you basically did whatever you wanted to do. You could clothe yourself, you could feed yourself, you went here, you went there, you did whatever you wanted to do. But when you're going to be old, Peter, someone else is going to gird you. Someone else is going to lead you. Someone else is going to take you to essentially to a place that you don't want to go. And what he's saying to Peter is, you know, when you're young, you basically had control of your life. You could do whatever you wanted to do. But when you're old, it's not going to be that way. And what he was doing was prophesying concerning his death. History tells us that Peter was crucified, but Peter didn't want to die in the same fashion as the Lord Jesus Christ, and so he wanted to be crucified upside down. That's what history tells us. Essentially, what he's telling Peter here is, Peter, it is absolutely inherent, if our relationship is to be right with the Lord, that you are willing to give control to me. You're going to pay the supreme price, Peter. You're going to die for me. Are you willing to do it? Sacrifice for Christ. But you know, any legitimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, if it's what it ought to be, it is going to involve love for Christ that affirms that He is the supreme one over everything, and He has the right, He has the ability, He has the right to tell me what I should do. I give control of my life to Him. I'll obey Him at any cost, any price, because He's supreme. You know what the mark of real love is? What is the mark of real love? Sacrifice. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The Bible tells us that the measure of our love, the thing that measures the level of our affection for Christ is sacrifice. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. It measures the level of affection. And Jesus says, if you're going to have the right relationship with me, you got to be willing to give me control. Sacrifice. The third thing is in verse 19. Look with me there. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Here's the third component to a right relationship with the Lord, and that is following Christ. It's love for Christ, it's sacrifice for Christ, and it's following Christ. Jesus said, Peter, follow me. But follow me no matter what. You're going to die, Peter. You're going to die. He prophesied concerning his death. But he still said, Peter, follow me. Follow me no matter what. Peter, if you're going to follow me, this is what's going to happen to you. But he also said, follow me regardless of anybody else. Look what happens here in verse 20. Then Peter, turning about. So no sooner had Jesus said to Peter, follow me, Peter turns around. Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Jesus says, look, you got to follow me regardless of anyone else. And no sooner had Jesus finished saying, follow me, Peter turns around and he sees John following behind. And he says, well, Lord, if I'm going to die, what's going to happen to that guy? What is this? Well, how is he going to die? What shall this man do? Jesus said, hey, Peter, that's none of your business. If you read the Greek, that's actually what it says in Greek. None of your business. That's essentially what the Lord said to Peter. Peter, that's none of your business. My will for him is not my will for you. It's different. What is that to thee if I have something else for him? You just follow me, regardless of anybody else. Listen, let me tell you this and make this application and I'll be finished. Don't evaluate your situation and God's will for you by comparing yourself with somebody else and their situation and their status in life. Don't evaluate yours based on what happens with other people. Don't be concerned about another person's position, another person's station, another person's status, or their situation. You know, the tendency might be to say, well, look here, this worked out this way for them. What about me? How come my situation isn't working this way? Listen, follow God's will for you. Because God's will for you is unique to you. Amen? He's designed your life. He's designed something in a certain way just for you that's going to bring glory to Him. It's unique to you. You know, an example of that, you know, pastors, they could be pastoring a small church and they could look around and they could say, well, my friend, my peer, he's pastoring that church over there. Man, that church is big. That church is growing. That church is huge. And a pastor could say, well, you know, I have these aspirations, and look what's happening for him. And he could use a church as a stepping stone to gain status in his own life or position in his own life. That's wrong! God's will is unique to you. Could be a single person who has a desire to be married, and they could look around, they could see, and my friends are getting married, and this is what's happening with them. Well, what about me? Don't compare yourself with other people. Don't compare your situation to other people's situations. God has a will, a perfect designed will just for you that's going to bring glory to Him. You follow the Lord no matter what anybody else does or says. What does that amount to? It amounts to simple obedience. It's obedience, and that is so essential to a right relationship with Jesus Christ. So here in this passage, here's the Lord restoring a right relationship with Peter, and He's commissioning him for service. He's basically telling him, I want you to feed my sheep. I want you to pastor these people. And he's restoring this relationship with Peter. But it's also reminding us, listen, that if our relationship is to be right with the Lord, our relationship needs to be characterized by loving the Lord supremely, loving Him more than anything else in life. It needs to be characterized by sacrificing for Christ, sacrificing anything and everything for Him. That means your plans, your ambitions, the fun you want to have. Hey, Lord, it's yours. If you want to take it, it is yours. I'm not going to hold on to something if you want it. But it needs to be characterized by following Him at any cost and no matter what anybody else does, no matter what He would ask of you to do, follow Him. Those are the components to a right relationship with Jesus Christ. How is your relationship to Christ? So here's the practical application. Why do we come to church here? Is it just so we can get a good outline and we can, oh, that was pretty good? Here's the practical application. Make the application in your life. Ask yourself the question right now, how is my relationship to Christ? Is it characterized by the fact that I love Him more than anything else, and it's demonstrated in my obedience to Him, in my willingness to give everything for Him, my willingness to follow Him no matter what? Is that really you? If it's not, then maybe your relationship with Christ isn't what it ought to be. But He wants it to be. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Christ at all. You've never been saved. You've never repented of your sin. You've never been born again and made new. You need a relationship with Christ. He died on the cross to save you from your sin. If you'll repent of your sin and trust in Him, receive His gift of salvation, you can be made brand new and start a relationship with Christ. How's yours? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that this morning that you'd accomplish your purpose now. People would be honest with themselves, with you, and Lord, that the truths of your word would strike home. And I pray, Lord, that there would be an honest desire in the heart to be right with God, to love the Lord supremely more than anything else in this life, to be willing to give him control of life. Lord, you tell me what to do, to follow him at any cost, because I love him. I pray that that would truly be the heart of your people. And sometimes we don't behave right and we don't act right, just like Peter. But we could say, Lord, you know my heart. Don't look at the way that I've behaved. Father, you know all things. Look at my heart. You know I love you. Help me to be better. And Father, if there's some here this morning who've never been saved and they don't even have a relationship with the Lord, maybe some of these things are foreign to them and don't really understand. Lord, I pray that you'd work in their heart today too, to draw them. In Jesus' name, amen.